All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, good morning. I'm Doug, and this is Quick and Dirty 42 Minutes. We're on vacation, so we're not going to pull out all the stops, but Will just came back from Olympia, Washington, and the Olympia Sync Summit, and so we all need to know what the heck happened. And so, how are you, Will?
I'm good. Still catching up on sleep.
Okay. Have you ever been to the West Coast before?
I had been to San Francisco when I was a kid, like when I was 8 or something.
Yeah.
But certainly not been that far north before.
And did you find it beautiful?
Yeah, in its own way. I mean, I made this comment quite a few times while we were out there. Like, here in Colorado, you can constantly see the mountains. And we have trees, but they're not of the same enormous evergreen sort as what's in Washington. And so every once in a while, the trees would part, and you'd see this ginormous mountain, you know, Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
And... You're at sea level, so the mountain looks 10 times taller than the mountains in Colorado, but it wasn't constantly present like it is in Colorado. So it was interesting, regardless. And somebody told me, because it was so beautiful while we were out there, but somebody said it was uncharacteristically sunny while we were there, which I guess you could just call a sink.
Okay, so let's rewind. Oh, what is it, like 2 weeks ago, Alan stopped through your town on his way to the Sync Summit.
Yes, that sounds about right. Alan came in on a weekend and hung out.
He was on like a Sync something. Super tour. He met Klausy.
He met Bill Klaus in Chicago. I think he went up to Winnipeg and visited Jake.
Yep.
Then he came down and had some good times with me. Went up and went camping with Mike Claylin, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And went to visit you. How was that?
It was great. Jason and I hung out. They watched some bizarrely crazy movie that he picked up at a truck stop. I don't know if...
Oh, is that the moon one?
Yeah.
Because we talked about that, yeah.
Yeah. But so, you need to tell us, what is the deal with lottery tickets? Well, and who has Alan bought lottery tickets for in your family?
Okay, so the first time Alan came through, I had this theory, because if you listen to the backstory of Alan, some of the earlier issues of Always Record, he always talked about the fact that when he was a young person, he always knew he was going to be old enough to gamble and automatically win at roulette on the table at number 13. And he actually did it. He walked into, I think it was, what is it? The casino area south of New York, which is Alex City or something like that. So what is it called?
Do you know Atlantic City?
Atlantic City, thank you. So he walked in when he was old enough to gamble, put his money down, and won. And there's quite a few parts where, you know, there's stories. There's a handful of stories that Alan has you know, spoken about that have that theme of him winning big in lotto and these weird... So I came up with a theory that it was his mutant ability.
That's his superpower?
Yeah.
He can win money.
That's how Sync works for him, right? So I'm trying to convince him this whole time. This is the first time, not this time he came in. So we're walking around outside, and there just happens to be this school. So like, I had all of these plans that when he came and visited, I was going to take him here to this place, whatever. I was going to keep him away from the mundane reality of my world and like venture out and show him something nice, right? Well, that didn't happen. We ended up walking around my neighborhood at like 1 in the morning. And we found, or he was like, you know, this is what I think about, what I think about ceremony is like, it's just pretend. You can say anything is anything, and as long as you believe it, that's what it is. And there was this, like, we were at this school, and there was like a little roundabout, and the island of the roundabout had these two like flagpoles. And Alan was like this, we can just say this is a Stargate, and watch, we're going through the Stargate. And then I think it was Melissa, Alan's wife, said something like, well, now what about the lotto tickets we were just talking about? He's like, okay, we're going now. And me and Melissa looked at each other. It was like 1 in the morning. We're like, no, 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 no. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? We're on the other side of the Stargate. You can't go back. You have to go on. So we went to the grocery store at like 1 in the morning. And because Powerball wasn't open, we bought a bunch of scratch tickets. And there was this whole big, long story that happened. Like, everything that led up to it, we knew that it was getting crazy. But I won't go into that. And then as soon as I started scratching off the tickets, the winning number was 24. And every single one of the entries, because we were trying to find the right ticket, and it was right that weekend was when Noah came out. So I saw – I had $5 in my hand. I put $5 in the machine, and there was a lotto ticket called the Deluge of Dollars or something like that. So it's totally appropriate. And it had like 5 entries on it. Each one of them had the winning number of 24 in it. So it was just – the whole ticket was just nothing but 24. So I won every single one of the entries. I think I won like $50 or whatever. It was some of the money that helped me get my computer back in, up and running. And so when he came back by this time, Melissa and I were like, we're doing this. we're going to get a winning lotto ticket, and we're going to start the empire that shall be known as SyncBook. So before we know it, there's like my mom, all of my kids, all of us are at the grocery store buying scratch tickets and Powerball and forcing Alan to rub and touch each one of them. And I have no idea. We haven't even checked to see if we've won any of them.
So you won $50 because Alan took you through a Stargate.
Yeah, and it's not that much of a – it's not that much money. The thing is that
– this most recent time, 2 weeks ago, you had your whole family
because my mom
go
like
through the Stargate with Alan and rub tickets and
right. We all ran through the Stargate again, like holding hands in pairs of two.
This is the same family that think you and Alan are crazy, right?
I think they're certain of it at this point.
Alan told the story as he was buying us lottery tickets in Boise. yeah, the only reason why we were buying lottery tickets is because he did it with you. But he said that your daughter won like $150.
We haven't confirmed that. She definitely won some. I don't know if it might be just another $50 ticket. But like I said, we've been lazy about it, so we haven't gone. And yeah. I think there's still tickets we haven't even scratched off yet. So there yet may still be winners.
I think we started with $1 and over the course of 2 nights ended up winning enough to scratch a lot of tickets.
Well, that's what happened with my daughters after Alan, because the first time we went, it was like midnight or whatever. My daughters weren't with us. So the second time, I told my daughters the story, and they were like, well, we're going through the Stargate, Dad. So when Alan wasn't here, in between his visits, my daughters and I went through the Stargate, and we almost spent the entire day playing scratch tickets, because every time we played, we won. And they were totally convinced it was because of the Stargate. So we would play and we would win our money back plus some. And so then we'd go and buy more scratch tickets. And we kept winning. I think we played for 4 hours or something, just sitting there at the grocery store scratching. And I think that, you know, I've talked to Alan about this. It's more about the experience, like the story of he and I at midnight. Everything that happened with he and Melissa and I that first night was just a great story. It was a great experience. And then when we were trying to convince him on his last visit, because, you know, he's like, I don't know. It seems like I'm kind of cheating the universe, or, you know, I don't know if this is like us buying lotto tickets is moral. And so we went through this whole spiel about how, you know, it's not selling out. We're not selling out. We're like, it's like the universe giving us an advance, because let's be clear, we have a lot of work to do with this money. And then that's when Alan snapped his finger, pointed at me, and he goes, "In that case, winning the lotto is the most moral thing we can do. Let's go."
Okay, so then let's talk about lots of work to do. Mm. You flew in on flight number 143. You flew back on flight number 142, and you.
Well, I flew in on flight 143 at gate A42.
So that's another 142.
Right, and it was exactly the same, 142. It wasn't jumbled up like you had to make it something. And then on the way back, it was flight 142, and I'm just sitting there, like, just grinning.
And for the record, how do you interpret the 42? Do you have, is it a loose symbol set, or do you have a reading on the 42 in your life at this point?
Well, I mean, it's the answer to life, the universe, and everything, man. The thing is 42 follows me around. There's been days where I know it sounds really mundane, but when I'll drive to work, where there'll be like every license plate says 42 on it. I'm talking about every single one. And the ones that don't say like 237 or something like that. And then now I just don't make it a big issue. I put the 42 sync thing on my Instagram, where a lot of times I'll just, you know, post them up there. But it's been happening to me for years. And that was like if one of the first posts that ever went up on the sinkhole, because the sinkhole started it like April 23rd or something like that. I can't remember. 423.
Yeah.
And one of the first posts I ever put was just getting all the personal 42s that I had seen and was like keeping on my cell phone but never posting anywhere. That was pre-Twitter and all of that. I just put them up. That was like the first post I ever did in the sinkholes, 42, 42, 42. And it is joy. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's like so much more than that too. And it's like a key that it's almost like anytime you do anything at all, there's always this little bit of self-doubt, like, am I where I'm supposed to be? And when you get on a plane and it says flight 142, then you're like, okay, like there's nothing to worry about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's turbulence or whatever, just relax, because everything's going to be okay.
Okay.
That's the best way I can describe it. I don't even like to fool with what it means, because why define it? Why? I mean, it does mean Jupiter. It does mean joy. It does mean luck. It means all of those things. It means abundance. It just means right path. It means all of those things. And there are plenty of 42s. I remember when we were walking in Olympia, when we were walking the Tree of Life, you have to go down this alleyway to get to the second half of the tree, the top part of the tree. And when you come out of the alleyway and you cross the street, there's this manhole with this giant 42 on it. And you should have just seen the fingers point to it as soon as, like, we had a huge crowd.
Yeah,
and we had picked up more people along the way. So there's like all of us with our little Olympia Sync Summit badges on. But then there was a whole bunch of group of people, like, there was kids, there was families, there was like this homeless dude that was creeping around with us. And everybody's hand was like going down to this manhole, pointing down this 42 as soon as we passed over.
And this is between the lower and the upper half of the Tree of Life?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right. So you fly in on Friday. The Sync Summit starts on Friday. I think everyone met at the Last Word bookstore at 1 o'clock. What time did you get in?
I got at 1 o'clock.
To SeaTac?
No, I got in at past midnight to Olympia.
Oh, like, man. So you missed
A.M. I missed
the Friday radio. Yeah.
So I pull up. It's in the middle of the night, right? I'm exhausted.
Because you had to go to work, and then you went to the airport, and you flew to Olympia. Is that right?
Exactly. So I pull up, and I'm not sure if I'm even in the right place because nobody's there. It's dark.
So how did you get from the airport to Olympia? Because that's not
the shuttle. There was a shuttle that left at like 12:45, I think, is when we left.
Okay.
And it takes an hour from Seattle to get to Olympia.
Okay.
And so the guy drops me off, and he's like, "I hope this is the place." I'm like, "Me too."
And then. So, the fertile grounds, why did I see a picture of an address that said 911? Was that just a random picture, or were you guys staying in a house that said 911?
Well, we were staying in a bunch of different places, so I'm not really sure. I've seen that picture, too, and I'm not sure if that was across from Fertile Grounds or if that was Fertile Grounds, because I only went in Fertile Grounds a couple of times. Fertile Grounds was like the main area where everybody hung out, because it was kind of a bed and breakfast, and they had this enormous gardens, and it's just a beautiful setting. And then there was like a little bamboo garden at the bottom of this shady area, where all the presentations were given. But I'm not sure where the 9/11 came from.
Okay.
Back to my story. They dropped me off, actually, at Fertile Grounds, because that's the only information that I'd had. And then I'm, like, talking on the phone with Alan. He's like, oh, you guys, it's just down the street. He kind of sent me a text on where the address was. And so I'm still kind of creeping around, like, wondering if I'm in the right place. And I hear this little bit of a commotion, so I start walking towards it. And lo and behold, here's Joe Alexander dressed like Marty McFly and Steve Wilner with his girlfriend Melody, I think her name is. And they're wearing masks like the ones from The Labyrinth. And I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? Joe sees me, and it's like, I don't know. It was weird because it wasn't like, oh, crap, that's Will Morgan. Hey, buddy, or anything like that. It was like, oh, hi, Will. Like, we had known each other our whole life. And then Wilner takes off his mask. You can tell he's had a few. Gives me a hug, and Melody's just bug-eyeing me through this mask, freaking me out. Then I just started, you know, beating feet after we put Steve to bed. And then we started walking down the street, just chit-chatting, making our way towards where everybody had exited the building and was just kind of congregating outside of the Radio 8 Ball show. We walked down there and gave everybody a hug. Met Andy Schmushkin for the first time, which was really cool.
What is that dude like? I mean, we interviewed him.
He's fun, man. The only way to describe Andy is fun. It was funny because the next morning, Andras came back into town. And he's like, I'm pretty sure Andy spent all the money on my credit cards and gave away all my goodies last night. And that's how Andy Schmushkin is.
Is he buying drinks for people then?
Andy Schmushkin is very generous. We'll just say that. Andy Schmushkin's very generous with Andras Jones's finances.
So then you flew in, you got the shuttle, you got dropped off at the Fertile Grounds, but then you ended outside of the Rhythm and Rye?
For
the after party, basically?
Yeah, basically. And it was a lot of just walking around. And then we were so goofed by that time, everybody was a little goofed, that nobody knew how to get back to where they were going. Once we lost, our lifeline of Andy Schmushkin, once he exited stage left, then everybody was like, okay, it's time to go to bed. Because by that time, it was like 3 in the morning. And, we had separated in who's supposed to be in what buildings and stuff. But we're walking around like, there must have been like 3 or 4 groups of sync kids like roaming around Olympia like zombies. Like, oh, crap, we went the wrong way type of crap. So,
and then, so my understanding is that a lot of the people met up Friday afternoon and they were given these sync lanyards with credentials on it. What was that like, seeing all these people that you know but haven't ever met, but then they have special sync summit?
Well, I don't know if the sync summit badges were such a big deal, but seeing everybody, I mean, this was a conversation that kept coming up numerous times while we were there. Some of these people we've known for like 5 years plus or something like that.
Well, you've never met Joe, right? That was the first time.
Yeah. I'd never met Joe. I'd never met Violet or Hellspawn.
No.
You know, I got to meet Tim Murphy. Tim Murphy came up to me when we started the Tree of Life and was like, Will! Will! And met his wife. I think they had just gotten married. Lee, I believe her name is. And she's wonderful too. I mean, there was just Patrick Savek was there. David Plate, had never met David Plate. That dude's a beast, man.
He is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh man, you could get as long as you pump him full of questions, you could have him talk all day and just listen to what he's got to say. And it's weird because he and Joe live right next to each other, and he's like the same height as Joe. Joe's this basketball player who's on up there, right? And,
yeah.
And Plate's like the same. They see eye to eye. Let's just put it that. James Evan Pilato. I got to meet James Evan Pilato. He and I talked a lot. It was just such an. The funnest thing now is going back and watching all the pictures people are putting up, because it's like, I remember that. I remember that. Swami Agiri, I think.
Yeah.
We met that guy. That guy is so pleasant. Such a nice person. Oh, man, there were so many people. So many people.
Okay, so you guys are walking around. It's after party. It's time for bed. It's 3 a.m. Everyone makes it to the right spot and goes to sleep. What happens Saturday morning? Is it early morning?
Well, I don't know if we found our right spot, but we all found beds. The next morning, we woke up. And
were there people passed out in the sink garden?
There was one guy sleeping on the fertile ground bench, but I'm not sure if he was one of our people. No, I woke up in the morning, and Fertile Grounds has like a little table area, picnic area, where there was some tents and stuff set up, like, you know, food tents, not sleep tents. And they gave us breakfast. We all got breakfast, and that was the time where everybody was catching up, saying, oh, I had no idea that Violetta Hellspawn looked like that, you know? So there was a lot of that going on. And then,
so having not gone
Marty
to
Leeds,
the Radio 8 Ball,
Misty Greer, all of that. Yeah.
What was the general consensus that people were saying? Did they, was it a blast?
Yeah, I mean,
as far as you could tell?
For a lot of people, I think it was their first experience. So a lot of people were like hard to find, fill it out. I know the first experience I had with somebody telling me about Radio 8 Ball was David Plate. David Plate was absolutely buzzing about Radio 8 Ball. And what had happened was we were walking around Olympia, Joe and I, before we met everybody, and we passed by this park. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's the Tree of Life, because it just looked so obvious to me. And besides, I had read Andras's book, and I don't think it was as obvious to everybody else, but we wound up right there at the Malkuth of the Tree of Life, and David Place just going off about everything that happened at Radio 8 Ball. He's like, it was all zebras, and there was a lot of, in quotation mark, talks about dicks and this and that, and he was like, and horses and dicks and zebras, and I was like,
well, the pictures make it look like it was a sausage fest, but
oh yeah, that's why everybody was making comments. But the thing is that's what my presentation was about, is the whole connection between horses being a phallic symbol, you know, Philip K. Dick or horse lover Dick or something.
Oh, yeah.
And black and white and camouflage was my main story. So he's saying this. I'm like jumping up and down going, that's my presentation. And it's so funny because he's like, you know, I was just sitting there. I can't do a great David Plate impression because I just can't right now. And he was like, I was sitting there watching this and they were talking. Because the night of Radio 8 Ball was August 8th. Which was the day, or it was the day that the Manson killings happened.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Right, and Sharon Tate supposedly died on a zebra rug. And so that thought was going through some, or certain individuals who knew that or were thinking that, and there was all of this zebra stuff going on. And Plate says he couldn't stand it. It was just too thick, like you could feel it going through the room, and he looked back at Ezra, and Ezra was like, I know, dude, I know. And so later the next day when we met up with Ezra tells me the exact same story about that Plate had told me about Radio 8 Ball. He was like, you know, because it was Sharon Tate and everything was zebra this and zebra that. And that was like how the whole, like, at one part, the next day when we were doing the presentations, I think it was Scott Onstott. As soon as Scott Onstott was over, we had pizza and beer, and somebody had gotten Rolling Rock. So Onstott's thing was all 33333.33333333. There's all these 33s flying everywhere during Onstott's stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they bring out this Rolling Rock. And I don't know if you're familiar with Rolling Rock, but Rolling Rock's got this, like, mysterious 33 in quotation marks on the back of each bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And in the head of a horse.
Right.
So you could look over the picnic tables of everybody eating pizza and drinking Rolling Rock, and it's just covered with horses and 33s everywhere, right? So it was like, and I'm like, is this intentional? Are you guys doing this stuff on purpose? Because I get it. And they're like, and Andras is like, no, it's just the cheapest beer.
It's the cheapest beer. Right. And so it's this interesting, this is a year of the horse, too, and it's a dark horse, I think.
Right. It's definitely. And my whole presentation was about the horse and it being the libido. And so, I mean, there was a lot, and we're dealing with a sausage fest. There were some cool things that happened, too.
Into this pretty deep now. Do you have a memory that is just that's the one that you remember that stands out? It's like here's the holy moment.
Really, I think the one of the coolest memories that's and fresh in my memory right now is at night, sitting around waiting for the next presentation and talking to Tim Murphy and Joe Alexander. Just our chairs were turned towards each other and just riffing off of each other and getting excited about stuff and talking. And that was, like I said, one of the main topics the whole time was right here, right now, we have everyone we need to do whatever project we would want to do. You know, you have people who are great sync heads. You have great video editors. You have great artists. You have, you know, great writers. It was just all of our talents were like in this big pool together, and you could really feel like anything was possible.
Well, so did it feel like everyone was fairly like this is a coming together of like minds? Was there any drama or weirdness or? I mean, everyone got along.
There was plenty of weirdness, but there was no friction. I mean, there was great times. After I think Marty Leeds' presentations, we all kind of went down the Dillinger's, which is the haunt of Andras Jones. I think it's one of his day jobs or something. And we went in there, and it was like an old bank that has been converted to a bar, and it has a vault. So we were all in the vault. And it's this cramped little space, and there's a zebra rug on the floor, and everybody's just yapping away and having a good time. And that's when you knew, like, there's no friction here at all. And Marty Leeds' parents were there, and they were all involved, and you might kind of think that they would get a little bit weirded out about all
sure.
the weird.
Sure, yeah.
But no, uh-uh. Scott Onstott's family was there. His kid and his wife were around in our space. There was no, like, I got to get away from this. And there was no, like, there was nobody that was really, like, pushing, like, trying to make a sink out of everything. It was just, as soon as something happened, everybody was like, oh! You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everybody knew what was going on. It wasn't like anybody trying to push. We weren't really trying to push our philosophy onto anyone. It was like, hey, all of these people speak the same language, and so you were free to talk about, like, when Alan came here, we had a barbecue at my house for my birthday, and we were all out back, and, you know, somebody asked Alan, you know, what do you do? And he's basically saying, I'm an editor, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and he had a lot of explaining to do. Like, people kept bombarding, well, what do you mean? Well, what do you mean? What is sync? Blah, 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 blah. They kept – and when we were in Olympia, there was just none of that. You didn't have to worry about any of that. You could say whatever you wanted to, and somebody understood what you were talking about.
That was a sync cabin joke, that you could say the craziest shit, and everyone would just accept it.
And somebody would riff off of it.
Right, like, make it crazier and
right.
better. Yeah.
Right, and then, you know, that brings up Michael Schott. Like, I love that guy. That was another weird
scene. I love that whenever he goes somewhere, he's got his Captain America shirt on. Like, he loves the idea that we are Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Like, we are the superheroes that came out, you know, found each other. And so Alan's...
It's very real.
Yeah.
It's very real. I think it is. It's very real.
Okay, but so you walk the tree, so you have breakfast as a group, and this is the people that we've met. What about people that we don't know or that we only know from names? How big was that Tree of Life walk?
There was like I said, it was just a crowd of people. There was a little bit of weirdness as far as, like, there was one lady who was in the park at Olympia, and she must have known Andras or something, because she was like, who are these people? What are these people doing here? This is all an act. You people are silly. We just didn't even care.
Like a flash mob, a sink flash mob.
Basically. And like I said, it was growing. It was growing. There was more growing. And there was more play off of, you know, individuals were given the opportunity to speak about certain areas of the Tree of Life that we came to. So it was like we would go to one place and Marty Leeds would go, well, you know, we're right here. And if you look right across the street at that place right there, it has a big G on it, which is significant being in this area because it has to do – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of analyzing people. It wasn't like Andras had to prove to us this was a Tree of Life. It was like people knew what he was talking about and why he thought it was significant. And then when you get to the upper part of the tree, it became even more obvious, even though it was obvious that it was less intentional. When you look at the first part of the tree, there's like Freemason there's a lot of Freemason like signs. There's stuff out there. The place is it's in Washington State, named after George Washington. There's like plaques that say this is a Freemason area and stuff like that. So it looks like, okay, there's a certain amount of intentionality right here. Once you get into the upper part of the tree, it's more obvious that it's real, less obvious that it's intentional, which makes it even more like mind-boggling. But and it was a long trip. I mean, what should have been like an hour-long trip ended up being like 2 hours or something like that, and pushed our schedules all back. But luckily, unfortunately, yet luckily, Frater X and Matter X didn't make it out, and so we had an hour buffer from that dropped presentation.
Gotcha.
It would have been better to see them there.
Did you see them
harder.
In Denver? Did you?
No, I didn't make it. I didn't make it. He had left before I had gotten off of work.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be tight.
Right.
And then there was Saturday, how many? Five, six, seven presentations?
Wow. Well, the presentations were a little bit varied. Let's see. I can't remember the entire schedule. See, I believe that Scott Onstotz was first, is what I remember, which was a great presentation. A lot of this material I had seen before, but he seemed really free to be out in front of people. It's a different – I mean, there was a bunch of times where I was like, oh, my God, like stuff hit me while he was doing his. Marty Leeds' presentation was a little bit different than his normal stuff because it was a lot more inspirational. A lot more heartfelt and came from the heart. It was like something that some things that he had been wanting to say but hadn't been able to get out, and he was allowed to say. And it was very personable. Loved Marty's. And then I think we took a break, if I remember correctly.
James Evan Pilato, The Simpsons Sinks.
Oh yes, we did James. James was great. It was funny because right before we went on the Tree of Life, there's a real tree in the back of Malkuth, begins the tree. The tree begins with the real tree and ends with the real tree. But we all put our hands on this tree and spoke our intentions in our heads before we went on the journey through the tree. And I was talking to James Evan Pilato, and we were like, you know, 10 to 1, everybody's intention was hoping they did good on their presentation. And James had mentioned that he was a little bit nervous and everything, but he knocked it out of the park. He's a huge Simpsons fan. So the guy's like a walking Simpsons encyclopedia.
Uh-huh.
And he actually was going to do a bunch of stuff that had happened in Simpsons that was significant and sinky.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening was he had just quit smoking, so he had started playing a video game on his phone that was called like a Snap to It or something. I can't remember it. Click on it or something like that for The Simpsons. And he had been playing that, and it went sinky on him. And so he was like, I didn't intend for this to be this way, but he went through his whole experience of playing this video game, and all of us were like, oh, that's crazy. So, but like I said, Pilato is a very interesting guy. We had a lot to talk about. I've been listening to him for a while. He's a great inspiration to 42 Minutes, and we got along famously. Plus, I mean, his voice is so cool that Alan and I were like, you know, once again, there's that talent, voiceover for sync videos.
Yeah.
So,
tell me, did Joe bring a movie?
Joe brought a movie. Joe's movie was the last movie to be seen, and it was 3 a.m. He couldn't get it rendered. This was so funny. He couldn't get it rendered. There was all of these like technical difficulties that we were faced with that ended out working out perfectly. Like, he couldn't get that thing rendered the whole week, but he wasn't worried about it. He brought it, and he was like, I knew as soon as we got all of these people together that it would happen. And he sat there right before his presentation and rendered it off and watched it go all the way through to 100%, and it was ready, and we watched it. And it was like 3 a.m. on Saturday before we watched that sucker, but we did. And like Joe's stuff, it's just mind-blowing.
Our clock is running down here, but tell me.
A little bit over.
Tell us about your presentation. I know that for a while you've been hinting that you've been watching a lot of Vigo.
There was Swami's presentation. His happened. And there was also David Plate's presentation, which was basically a sync up that he had done of The Summer of 42 and Animal Heart Mother, I think, by Pink Floyd, which was really interesting, but you really need Plate. Like, I'm the kind of person that says, oh, wait, everybody's going to the beat on this. But it was really good listening to Plate talk about it, because I think I'd heard him talk about it on Always Record before, but having the context of him right there made a whole bunch of things snap in my head that was like, yes, I get it now. I know what's going on. My presentation was, I don't know. I got calls from Andras, and I got a lot of congratulations from people like Marty Leeds and everybody. A lot of people said they loved my presentation, said it was great, but it didn't work out the way I had planned it at all. but everybody said that it was better, that the sound wouldn't work. I had film clips that were set up, and the sound didn't play, so basically I had to narrate the clips. But everybody said that that's what made it so good. And Michael Schott started yelling things out, and it made it so interactive that it just got me really hyped up and really excited, because it was like a moving sync post where you didn't have to wait for the comment section. The comment section was rolling as you were doing it. And so I just went straight for old school sync, gave a little presentation saying who I was, why I got into Viggo Mortensen. I got into Viggo because he was in a movie with Andras. I explained everything that I did with Andras, why I flipped over to Viggo, and just started going out on Viggo. And of course, like any when you're in a sync conversation, you start saying stuff, people start finishing your sentences. So, but they had to come and pull me off like I was James Brown. My stuff was getting a little bit too long, so Andras and Alan had to come in and put the cloak over my back and like usher me off stage. So. That's how it happened.
Well, that's cool, because I know that when you were talking to me before, you were saying that you wanted an interactive thing. You wanted kind of more of a symposium.
Well, I wasn't sure. You know, I didn't know. Well, see, I had taken a change of clothes that were nice. I wanted to look nice. That didn't happen. I had hair gel. I was going to do my hair. That didn't happen. Had my hat on backwards.
But because, all these presentations happened outside in the garden?
Yeah, in the little bamboo garden.
And so there was a tent, and you had – okay. And it was so it went until
Went until late. I think my presentation ended at 11. That's when we had to move inside.
Okay.
And originally, there was a Rodney Asher presentation too, where he Skyped in and we watched a movie that he made, and then we kind of asked him questions on Skype. But after that, we all had to move inside because it was getting so late. We couldn't be out with the PA system. And then that's when we went to a house and we watched. And it was probably for the best, because then we were all sitting in a room watching David Plate stuff, and we were all sitting in a room together watching Joe Alexander's 9/11 Back to the Future video. And so it was more intimate for those last two videos.
But, and then what time you fly out?
I flew out at 7 the next day. The shuttle came and picked me up.
7 a.m.?
7 p.m. in the evening.
Okay.
P.m. So the shuttle picked me up at like 3 in the afternoon. So we got to sit around and have breakfast again with everybody. And everybody chilled out. Joe had offered to drive me, but, you know, with traffic and everything, it was just, if I would have missed my plane, I would have had to have blamed it on Joe, and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just drove my bus there, was there way early, but I got to eat dinner and by myself and try to just
process.
Come down off the Sinkai, yeah, off the Sink Summit.
The Holy Mountain.
Sink Summit.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did get to see that thing, like I mentioned earlier. Mount Rainier is definitely Mount Olympus. It looks like this jutting monstrosity out of the flat landscape, but it was definitely the land of the gods.
Right, right. And so there's something strange about how the summit is the peak, the apex, but the sink is
the pit and the tip.
Yeah.
Are you speaking some Winnipeg sink?
A little bit.
So, yeah, definitely.
Well, and so 2014, the 14th card is temperance or balance. And you kept mentioning the zebra. And zebra is both the yin and the yang.
Right. It's the camouflage. It's the keys on the piano.
Right.
So, I mean, it's both the pit and the tip mixed into one. And it's scary. I mean, sink is scary. Sink, if when it finally clicks for somebody who's not used to seeing life that way, it's like, holy shit, wait a minute, what? And at the same time, it's very uplifting. You can either be a really hardcore conspiracy theorist that thinks everything's controlled, which will drive you into deep depression, because if sink is that, we're screwed. They're way ahead of us. And if it is something that means we're all connected, it's something very glorious. So at the same way, I mean, it's total camouflage. You don't know what you're looking at. And I think that was one of the main themes for the whole trip. Like I said, there was a lot of technical difficulties where it would be like, oh, we can't plug in my tablet. I'm screwed. I can't give my presentation. Well, actually, we'll put it on Joe's PC, and it actually worked better than it did on my tablet. You know, stuff like that, where it's like, the thing that you thought was the low point ended up being the best thing that could have happened to you.
Well, that was 42 minutes. Thank you, Will. I, of course, am jealous.
I'm jealous you weren't there. A lot of people make that comment. When we were talking about knowing people for 5 years, there's like, yeah, I can't believe you and Doug have never met.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll I don't happen. Even want to say next time, because this was the time. It was the holy moment. If you missed out, you missed out. And but you know, I had the same moment, just in a different tree.
Oh, everybody's completely convinced that this needs to happen again.
Of course it does. Okay, and so before we go, we got to mention that
I got to mention Bo G too.
Bo G. And then, but today's Andras's birthday, Rodney Asher's birthday,
right,
and Tommy Folks's birthday. Happy birthday, guys.
Now, is Andras's today, or is Andras on the 14th? I thought Andras was on the 14th.
I think it's today. I think.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I think today's Andras. And I did not realize that we had the first sink cabin on that same weekend.
Really?
Yeah, 2011.
I guess it is his birthday.
Yeah. So tell me, Bo G. I mean, every now and then. So Robin Williams died. And for me, when we were going to make our tarot, our celebrity tarot deck, he was one of my league contenders for the Fool card. Robin Williams was. I know you guys did a lot of work with Jim Carrey, and he is the perfect fool also. And then for me also, Keanu Reeves fits in there. I mean, so there's certain people that really fit the whole series of the archetypes. But it's interesting because Bo G definitely takes Keanu and makes a whole deck out of just his career. What is that guy like?
Bo G?
Yeah. Did you have fun with him?
He doesn't look like Keanu Reeves like I expected. But yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. And he actually brought a camera, like a video camera with him.
Oh, cool.
So there was a lot of filming that he did as well. I mean, there was a paid from the Indiegogo campaign. There was a paid camera crew, but he also was interviewing people and stuff on the side as well. And he had a little binder with all of his artwork from the Keanu Code in it, and all of us were just absolutely flabbergasted by the work and amount of professionalism he put into that thing.
Yeah, that book's going to come out, and it's going to be put out by SyncBook Press. I can sense this. It might not happen too soon, but it's going to happen, and it's going to be great.
It was just cool. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody, man.
David
there
Plate,
were so many
individuals. Did he bring any of his artwork? Did you get to see
I didn't see any of his artwork.
It's understandable. I mean, this is a... It's a lot.
I think Tim Murphy and I would like to have seen his artwork too, because that guy's an artist. But I think he and I are pretty set on doing a project together. There's a Mel Gibson thread that we had been clowning around with, and then when we got to sit, like I said, we were sitting in that circle with Joe, Tim, and I, and it was just, we kept coming up with idea after idea after idea, like we were putting stuff together, and I could see Tim just hopping up and down like, this is great. So I can't wait to do something with that guy too.
And then I had just interviewed Misty Greer before we went on break.
Misty's something else, boy.
It's weird how, like, she kind of completed this thing in my head where you have like John Sousa, who does set design. You have Drew, who actually, you know, he's a performer and, you know, he books shows and various things. I mean, it does feel like a league of extraordinary people coming together with a lot of different talents.
And we have new people too. I mean, there's individuals that were riding around with Marty Leeds, and they were there for Scott. Like, there was one guy named Vigil that I got to walk around with and hang out with for quite a bit.
Okay, yeah.
Ryan. Give a shout out to Ryan. And so these are new individuals who are
people
part
that we
of
probably
our little...
Need, yeah, that we'll have to They've, have 42 minutes with in the fall. Mm.
They're here now. They're listening to what we got to say, and they're like, oh, yeah, these are my people. So, good times, man. Good times. I think we should say adieu for this morning, though.
Okay, well, thanks.
Fare thee well.
Thanks for being our intrepid reporter on the ground, William.
And now I'm going to take a break for sync for a couple of days.
Right. Mm. Well, we'll... Do you know the word FOMO?
Is that any relationship to homo?
No, it's more like YOLO, but fear of missing out. We'll definitely start talking about how another one of these would look and where it would be. And I know that our East Coast people are always saying we need to do something on the East Coast, but...
Definitely. I could tell that, you know... That was something that came up right after we had this, was everybody wanting to do one in Atlanta. I think that's an interesting idea.
It is interesting. Atlantis. Yeah, I think we'd need to fly our shaman and our mystic in, though, for the next one, too.
Ah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you have a great day. Thank you so much, Will.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. We'll see you.
Much love to all those SyncHeads out there that attended. And if I forgot you were there, trust me, I haven't forgot. I just forgot today.
Should I tack a song at the end of this thing?
Yeah, but I don't know what that would be.
I don't either. I'll figure it out. Okay, well, you have a great day, Will.
Be well, sir.
Okay, take care.